Welcome to Burnside at Home for Sunday, the 29th of August, 2021. You're very welcome as we join together to worship God. This is a pre-record of the service that will take place, God willing, on Sunday at 11 o'clock in the church building. And do remember that you're very welcome to come and join with us now each Sunday. We're still keeping the 2 metre social distancing. We've got the overflow into the hall, so there's plenty of space. And although we are permitted to bring that 2 metre down to 1 metre, we're going to keep it at 2 metres until at least the end of September. We're looking at the moment at the rising numbers and the visitors that we have with us. And we're just going to keep things as they are because we want you to be as safe as possible. So do come and join with us. Of course, we're still going to keep this pre-record, which is available on the telephone line. It's available on the church website and also available as a podcast. And this incoming week as well, the Beside the Burn is going to be available on the podcast each day. Normally, we just put a block of it all up together on the Wednesday. But if you do want to listen to it through the podcast, you can do that each day and it will arrive in your podcast software if you've subscribed to it. So today we are coming to the end of our summer series, which was Meals with Jesus. We're going to look at the meal that Jesus had with the two disciples in Emmaus. And then next week we're beginning a brand new series. And I'll say more about that as we go along today, because it links in very closely with what Jesus says to the disciples in Emmaus and what we're going to look at over the next few weeks together. So we're going to worship God, and it's vital as we seek to follow Jesus that we listen for his voice and we recognise his voice. Today then, as we come to the end of our meals with Jesus, we find two disciples who were listening to Jesus, but they were not recognising him. Jesus describes it like being a shepherd with sheep following and the sheep listening for his voice. So in John 10 and verses 2 to 5, we read the following. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. We want to get to the stage where Jesus' voice is not strange to us, where Jesus is not a stranger, but he is our best friend. And we recognize his voice immediately whenever we hear it, and we obey it immediately. So let's come before him in prayer together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and we praise you this day. We thank you that we're able to worship together. But Lord, we thank you most of all that we are able to share in fellowship with you, because you are the one who is risen. You are the one who comes today in your risen power, and you call us to worship. And Lord, we pray that we might hear your voice and respond to that voice and worship you today. We thank you, Lord, that you're the God who walks beside us. And we pray that we might recognize you day by day. So often, Lord, we allow the things of this world to crowd around us so much that we lose sight of you, even though you are by our side. We miss your voice because we turn up the volume of so many other things and we turn you down and do not listen. Lord, may we always be looking for you. And we pray that in that searching, you would reveal yourself, that we would realize who you are and what you have come to do and what you want us to do. So today, Lord, as we worship, help us to meet with you. Help us to bring glory to you. And help us, Lord, to know you in our hearts and walk beside you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. In our service on Sunday, we're going to sing, "My heart is filled with thankfulness." And in the second verse, we sing, "My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside." We're thinking about Jesus walking beside these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and how he teaches them and speaks to them and reveals through the Old Testament who he is. And that's what we pray that Jesus might do in our lives, that we might know him and realize who he is. And in the third verse, we sing, "My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who reigns above." Let's come before God in prayer once again, and we're going to bring our prayers for others. We're also going to give thanks for the offering that folk have given, and we thank you who perhaps are not able to come and join with us on a Sunday at the moment, who still give so carefully, and we appreciate your generosity, and we give thanks to God. And just as we do that, we're going to do that with the thoughts of the disciples on the road to Emmaus in mind. So let us pray together. Like the disciples at Emmaus, we offer what we have to you today. They offered their company, their table, their bread. And we invite you to be with us, Jesus, as we offer you our love, our devotion, and these gifts that we lay before you today. May our eyes be open to your holy presence among us, now and always. Lord Jesus, we bring to you today those who are in great need. Once again, we pray for Afghanistan, and we can hardly believe, Lord, that that country has descended into such anarchy and destruction so quickly. And we pray for the troops that have been given that impossible task of keeping the airport open and now withdrawing. We pray, Lord, that you would watch over them and keep them safe day by day as they carry out their orders. Lord, we pray for those Afghans who have been evacuated from the country as they settle in new places now. Help them, Lord, we pray, because we cannot even begin to imagine how difficult it will be in a new country with perhaps a new language and with no possessions, how they will start afresh again. But Lord, most of all, we pray today for our brothers and sisters in the faith who have been and continue to be persecuted because of their faith. Lord, we are fearful for their lives with the Taliban seeking to destroy. And we ask that you would set your protection around them and keep them safe. We pray that they might have a witness for you even under these impossible conditions. And Lord, we pray that you would be near to them. And we pray that others would come to faith in you in that land. Lord, we continue to pray about COVID. We continue to pray as restrictions are eased and numbers increase. And Lord, as we look ahead to the next few weeks, we pray for schools as they come back again. We pray for the pupils and the staff that you would keep them safe day by day. We pray for universities and students as they will be travelling again soon. And again, Lord, your hand of protection. And Lord, we have to admit that we are fearful as we see these things taking place, and yet we realise that they must so that we can get back to some form of normality again. And therefore, Lord, we bring our prayers to you this day, and we ask that your will be done, because we know that you are the sovereign one. Amen. Let's read together today from Luke chapter 24. All these meals with Jesus that we've been looking at over the last couple of months have all been in Luke's gospel. We're near the end of the gospel today, and this is on the day that Jesus has risen from the dead. And this is what happens on the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, Two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are. And how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day's almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Amen. And we do pray the blessing of the Lord God Almighty to be upon us on the reading of this word. You know, it's fair to say that many people do not recognize Jesus on a daily basis. There are those who really need Jesus in their lives, and they will not, for whatever reason, admit that they need him. I'm sure we've all got friends or family members or just somebody that is an acquaintance who need help. They need some guidance, they need some encouragement, but they will not turn to Jesus, even though he is the very one that they need. And we may despair at such people, wondering how they cannot see Jesus, especially whenever he is the very person that they need. But then we can almost be as guilty ourselves, we who should know better. Sometimes Jesus is obviously right in front of us and we do not realize it. How many times have we been in the middle of problems, crying out, wondering why God has given up on us, only to look back and realize what Jesus was doing all along? Sometimes people will not recognize Jesus because whenever they see him, he's not what they were expecting. This happened a lot in the Gospels. When Jesus appeared as the Messiah, he wasn't quite the type of Messiah that many wanted, so they would not accept him. Take, for example, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests. Well, they were looking for a mighty warrior who was going to defeat the Romans. They expected an impressive king who they could look up to. They wanted an earthly ruler who would lead the nation back to prosperity again. But instead, they had Jesus, the illegitimate son of a carpenter from the little town of Nazareth, who didn't worry too much about all their rules and regulations, and yet he had crowds of thousands following him. But then, you know, it also happens with those who, like us, who should know better. Those who had seen Jesus and listened to his teaching. And when he was crucified, started to doubt all that they thought they knew about him. And that's where we join this story today. We have another meal with Jesus, this time in Emmaus, with Cleopas and his unnamed friend. But we have quite a bit of the story to get through before we even reach the meal. In fact, the meal is almost viewed as a little sideline in this story. It's not the main event, as it were. Today, this is the last of our meals with Jesus, and it's going to lead us directly into our new series for September. So the first thing that we see is that these disciples had hoped that Jesus was the one. We've got Cleopas and his friend travelling from Jerusalem towards Emmaus. It's the day of the resurrection, and they've heard the news that Jesus is alive, and they don't fully believe it, and they're discussing what it actually means. As they're walking along, they're joined on their journey by this mystery man. It's Jesus, but they are kept from recognizing him. It's a little bit like the story that's told of the ramblers walking through the Balmoral estate. They come across a little old lady and what appears to be her strong, good-looking, athletic grandson. And they get chatting and they talk about the estate and they talk about the queen. And they ask this lady if she has ever met the queen. And she says that she hasn't, but turns to her plain-clothed bodyguard and says that he has met the queen many, many times. They proceed with their walk, unaware of who they've been talking to. Now, I don't know if that story is true or not, but it's a wonderful illustration, I suppose, of what happens in our story today. Jesus is there, and he asks them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they explain that they had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah, but now it was increasingly looking as though he wasn't. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. So what's the verdict on all of this? Well, Jesus is very clear as he responds to them. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Jesus says to them, "You are foolish. You are slow to believe. Do you not realize that this was always going to happen to the Messiah? The Messiah always was destined to suffer. The Messiah was always going to die. And the crucifixion, rather than being a sign that Jesus has failed in his attempt to be the Messiah, well, it actually proves that he's the Messiah. Jesus had told the disciples what was going to happen, but they'd chosen not to listen to the detail of what he said. If they had even understood anything about the Old Testament, then they would have realized that this was all part of the plan. But as Jesus says, they're foolish. They're very slow to believe what is happening. And at this point in the story, I can almost hear a slight sigh of frustration from Jesus. It's almost as if he says, okay, here we go. If you really haven't worked out who I am, then I'm going to have to spell this out for you. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus basically takes the Old Testament, he opens it up as they're walking along, and starts showing them where it speaks about the Messiah, and specifically, where it speaks about Jesus. Now, imagine if we could have listened to that sermon. There are lots of things that have gone missing over the years that people have spent time trying to find. There's always great excitement whenever there's a lost episode of Doctor Who that's discovered in someone's attic, and then it's painstakingly restored and then released for all the Doctor Who fans to enjoy. There's also quite a lot of excitement whenever a music track is discovered that no one knew existed, and it's from a band that has long since split up, or from a singer who has died, and everyone wants to hear that recording. And I think this sermon from Jesus would be an incredible listen, as he opens up the story of creation and says, look, Jesus is the one here who is hovering over the waters with his Father and the Holy Spirit. Do you see this light that comes into the world? That is Jesus. And he turns the page and he says, do you see the offspring of the woman who is going to crush the head of the serpent? Well, guess what? That's Jesus as well. And page after page, he would say the same thing. Look, here is Jesus. Everywhere, here is Jesus. And perhaps this is where we're like Cleopas and his friend, because often we turn to the Old Testament and we miss Jesus. Now, we see a lot about God the Father. We see good moral stories. We see heroes to emulate and villains to avoid. We see examples of faith and determination. We see God's protection and deliverance. But often we miss Jesus in the Old Testament. And here Jesus is saying, look, every page is about Jesus. It's a little bit like getting to the end of the film and suddenly at the big plot twist and reveal, your jaw drops open and you say, oh, I need to go back and watch that again. Knowing what I now know, I'm going to go back and look for all the clues that I missed the first time through, and it's all going to make much more sense to me. And perhaps that's the very reason that this sermon is missing and that we don't have it to read. So that we do go back through the Old Testament ourselves and we look for the clues and we search for Jesus and we find him on every page. So from next week, as we begin a new month, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go to Genesis to find Jesus. And we're going to imagine what this stranger told these two disciples on the road to Emmaus as we open the pages, as we look through them, as we search for Jesus Christ. Finally, we get to the meal. Now, it's taken us a long time, and I have to warn you that normally whenever I say finally, that's the last point, and you begin to sit up and get a little bit interested. There's another point after this finally point, but it won't take too long. So finally we get to the meal. It's taken a long time, and perhaps we may be forgiven for thinking, well, there's plenty to be getting on with. We hardly need to go into the details of the meal, but this is a series of meals with Jesus, so we do need to look at it. But it's at the meal that the true moment of recognition happens. Jesus is ready to keep walking whenever they reach their destination, but they persuade him to stay with them and to have a meal with them. I suppose they've heard so much that they want to listen more to what this stranger has to say, so they sit down to eat together. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. You see, Jesus does something unmistakable here. It's something that they have heard about from the disciples. He took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and he gave it to them. And at that point, their eyes were opened. The eyes which had been kept closed so that they didn't recognize Jesus were suddenly opened so that they did recognize him. And even though they had heard so much already, suddenly everything began to click into place with them. Over the next few weeks, as we look at Genesis and try to find Jesus there, it will just be an academic exercise unless we know Jesus personally, unless we sit down with him and receive his body and his blood. We need to personally know Jesus so that we can find him as we read the Old Testament. So therefore today I invite you to meet with Jesus through these meals that we've been sharing together. Trust in him today if you haven't already done so. Accept him as your saviour. Surrender to him and follow him. And if you do that, then your eyes will be opened to see him. Finally then, and I do mean finally this time, the story closes with one more aspect of finding Jesus. They began retelling what had happened. They go over the events of the last few hours with each other. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And they cannot believe that they didn't recognize Jesus when it was so obvious. And then, because they're so excited about their discovery that Jesus is the one after all, that they then begin to tell others. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. I imagine then that they started to go through the Old Testament with the other disciples, saying to them, look, this is all about Jesus. There he is in this story. Here he is in this passage. Look at this. That's all about Jesus. Why did we never see that before? And that is an important part of our understanding. If we try to share Jesus with others, then we'll remember what we have learnt so much more and we will encourage others. So for this next week, Let's actively look for Jesus wherever we go. Let's be open to noticing him at work, in our community, in the lives of others, and in our own lives. And let us walk with him. So let's turn to him in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the one who walks beside. Open our eyes that we might see you. Open our ears that we might hear you. Open our mouths that we might tell others about you. Amen. At the end of the service, we're going to sing a couple of verses of When We Walk With the Lord in the Light of His Word. What a glory he sheds in our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. And in the chorus, we sing trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And in the last verse, we sing, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or will walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. So let's bow before him in prayer. Now we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in worship today in this pre-recorded service. Do remember that the main service in the church is at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. A recording of that will be available on the church website. Possibly even a live stream will be available at 11 if we can get it to work properly. And you're very welcome to come and join with us at any time. Remember also, beside the burn throughout the week, each day on the church website, you'll be able to listen to a further meditation on the story and on the verses that we read together. So thank you so much for joining with us, and see you again next week.